following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Wednesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can follow everything about high school sports 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. Wednesdays on the Huge Show are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for the Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, the Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. Now, let's go to the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Studio with the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is hour number two on a Wednesday broadcast on the only show willing to tell like it is. We're all about huge opinions, big name guests. In a moment, Chris Ballas from the Wolverine.com will join us. We'll talk about the number seven Wolverines who have a bye week and thus the bye week breakdown here from the Tullymore Golf Resort. We'll talk Michigan, Michigan State, Big Ten Lions, and the NFL. Ballas checks in from the Wolverine.com. And Chris, the impact, before we get going on everything else, compared to a year ago, which was a pandemic, god-awful football season, what's it like at the Wolverine.com in terms of interaction, feedback, and interest in Michigan football from a year ago?
It's insane. People have been waiting for this, Bill, a reason to get behind this program again and this team. And after last year, everybody, half of our board wanted Jim Harbaugh gone. And we had actually had a poll up there. And it's like, you know, what's the direction here? What do you want to see? And people were like, man, we need to do something different. I was surprised at how high it was, 50% that wanted to give Harbaugh another opportunity, but he's making the most of it, right? And you can see that he's got his swagger back a little bit. And let me tell you why he does, Bill. And this is something interesting. When we talked to him about at his press conference, he said, I've got guys out there that I have to pull back if they're hurt and say, you can't play because you're hurt. Whereas in years past, you had some prima donnas out there, guys that were looking for reasons not to play. Now they have to tell these guys they can't play. And he said, these are real football players. Now, he wasn't taking a shot at anybody per se, but you could see it in his face, Bill, that, hey, I've got guys here that are in my mold. Jim Harbaugh would have almost had to be dead to be dragged off a football field back in that day and age. He's got guys now like he had at Stanford back when he was winning there, where he's saying, okay, these guys are part of me and who I am, and he loves this team.
So where'd Harbaugh lose it from the beginning? Because his early teams had this feel of the team we're watching right now, and then it went away. And then there was the doubt you mentioned on, you know, the Wolverine.com polls and talk shows and nationally and locally and statewide. Where did he lose it, and then how did he get it back?
Yeah, you know, I go back to what Doug Skeen used to tell me about the Gary Moeller years. And when they were recruiting, they would go to these guys like Skeen and say, okay, what do you think of these guys on this visit? And they would, and Skeen, you know, I'd say, oh, these guys, you know, aren't good for the culture. They might be great players, but they don't fit with us. And they were recruiting off lists a little bit. And I think that Harbaugh did that a little bit. And I don't know if they vetted some of these guys who were, I hate to say it, they were prima donnas, guys that were like, man, you had guys that were actually calling NFL guys saying, should I sit out the year to protect my draft stock and, you know, maybe not get hurt if I've got a little tweak in my hamstring? And you can't win with guys like that in that culture. And I think they got away with what Jim Harbaugh used to be. And if you watch those Stanford teams, I remember talking to Johnny Colasar, who played with him. He was at a Stanford game that Jim Harbaugh coached, and he said, it was like watching Michigan, and we didn't see that. It was really, you didn't have the same culture. You didn't have that same toughness. I think this team, it's not as talented as some of his better first teams here. Maybe 2016 comes to mind, but I think it's together, and these guys have a great chemistry, hard-hitting, hard-nosed football players in Jim Harbaugh's mold that he absolutely loves.
Harbaugh coined the enthusiasm, playing with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind early on, right? When I was down there for the signing of the stars and doing the backstage voice work and you know, voice in his recruiting phone, and he had this infectious energy and that enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And then the brakes were hit suddenly. And it didn't return, because you can see it in this press conference. You can see it on the sidelines again. You can see that screenshot with Hutch and the way he's doing it. You can see him even brushing off a reporter to get to his guys. So there's that window where you look at it and you wonder, you know, just as a man, did he know he recruited the wrong guys and hired the wrong coaches?
It's possible. And he made those changes. You know, Jim Harbaugh was not a guy who used to fire his coaches. He used to let contracts expire, but he made wholesale changes in the offseason. And I think he realized in looking at some of his players and that some of his coaches, this is what we need. Better recruiters, number one. Ron Bellamy, Steve Klingscale, Mike Hart, outstanding recruiters. And then you look at the players and, okay, he used to recruit guys, didn't care how many stars they had. You know, he was looking at their film and saying, this guy's a football player. And I think he got a few more of those. So, and people can say what they want to about him. The last couple of years, Bill, it was clear to you, to me, that something was off and he wasn't the same guy. And how many times did we say that? And I said, the culture and everything else starts with Jim Harbaugh getting back to the guy who he was when he was hired, that we saw in the first couple of years. And we've seen that from him. And you can see that sparkle in his eye again. And he reshaped his body. He looks healthy. He looks happy. He looks committed to it again and more engaged on the sidelines. The way that he went after those the officials in one of those plays in the Nebraska game, and we'll talk about that later, was Jim Harbaugh of old. And that's what people have been waiting to see. And when you get a guy like that on the sidelines and his kids rally behind him, he's a good football coach, flat out. We've seen what he's done at Stanford, at San Diego before Stanford, and at San Francisco. So he at one point was considered the top coach in all of football. So I think we're starting to see him get back to that. Not saying that this team is going to win a championship yet or anything like that, but he's rebuilt that culture already. And that's the big difference. I heard you talking to Skeen about what can be different from one year to the next. It's the culture. We've been saying it over and over and over again, and I think they're getting it back.
He has it back, that enthusiasm unknown to mankind. You can hear it in his voice during the press conferences. You can hear him talking to the media afterwards. And granted, when you're winning and you're number 7 in the country, it's a little bit easier. But remember, Harbaugh took basically that 50% pay cut. He brought in McDonald, which I think is a massive change, because that defense, you know, won that game for him on Saturday night in Lincoln. And then Mike Hart, you know, in his running back's room. And you talk about Klingscale's and Bellamy and these moves where all the move to McNamara, the move to putting in McCarthy at times, everything Harbaugh's doing right now on and off the field is working.
Yeah, and we're 6 games in and you're top 10. But let's be clear here, the meat of the schedule and the tough part is yet to come. They've won 2 impressive road games, and people, you look at the schedule, let's be honest, that Nebraska road win is probably the best road win in the Big Ten in Big Ten play this year. I'm trying to think of others. Penn State won at Wisconsin in the opener, and Michigan won at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not who they used to be, but in that environment, and talking to the people who were down there, they said that was one of the loudest environments they'd ever heard, and people have been doing this for 10 or 20 years, some of the radio guys and the production guys. So they needed that win, and Scott Frost needed that win to really get his program moving in the right direction. It was their Super Bowl, and I wrote this. It reminded me of 2003 Oregon going out there, and you could tell that there was something in the air, that these people were all about this game. Nebraska wanted that one badly. That was a big win. So to me, the proof there is that, okay, you can win it in a hostile environment. That's something that they haven't done. Now, I don't care that they weren't ranked, okay? That Michigan was a 3-point favorite. That's a game they would have lost, Bill, in the last couple of years. And now you've got a quarterback in Cade McNamara who's not perfect, but he was up to the challenge. And they proved when they got down and when things started to go poorly, they had the mental toughness and the fortitude of the Doug Skeen type teams back in the day where, okay, we just got punched in the mouth. Let's come back and punch back.
Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com is joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. It's our bi-week breakdown on Michigan, Michigan State, the Big Ten Lions, and the NFL here from the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. So the wins at Wisconsin and Nebraska, not ranked teams, but hostile environments. the big boy games are coming up. And who would ever thought? Again, we go back to last time we were here in August to preview the season, that the Michigan State game, and nothing against Penn State yet or Ohio State to wrap up the season at the Big House, but based on projections, and Michigan with the bye week, and then Northwestern, I think, is the worst team in the Big Ten this year. Them or Illinois, coin flip. And you could be playing number, you know, 7 or 8 by that time in Michigan State in East Lansing. So an interesting question is, if that game was this weekend and it wasn't the bye week and you didn't have Northwestern, and I threw out this question to the audience at The Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, who's the better football team right now? Is it Michigan? Is it Michigan State?
That's a fair question. Well, we're going to find out in 3 weeks, which is the beauty of this, right? But back to your first point about nobody saw this coming. We sure didn't. We thought Michigan and Michigan State would be 5-7, 7-5 teams. Doug Skeen's prediction, I might add, for the Michigan season team is already wrong for the season. I think he predicted 5-7.
Well, he came clean. Just like, and we'll get to the Goff Stafford thing coming up later in this hour. So this is actually, we shouldn't have called it the bye week breakdown. It should have been the come clean, come to Jesus celebration off the 18th fairway.
I predicted 7-5, though, right, for Michigan, and I think you were in the same.
You got ripped on your board.
I did, and apparently for good reason. Apparently all these experts saw, you know, hey, the old Jim Harbaugh's back and the culture's back and everything else. But now you get greedy, right? But you look at the back of that schedule, and you look at Michigan, Michigan State. I'll say this about Michigan State. You can talk about all you want to about the transfer portal, but it's guys they recruited that are really doing a good job, too. Peyton Thorne, who would have guessed, right? Looks like one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten. That offense looks really good. I think Michigan's better defensively, at least as of now. But when you face a passing quarterback like Thorne, those corners are going to get tested. I heard you talking to Skeen about potential weaknesses. Those guys are still going to be tested on some long balls. And against a good passing attack or a balanced team like that, we're going to see how they hold up. They play Northwestern before that, so that's not going to be a test. In some ways, and I'm not moving goalposts here, in some ways that's going to be the first huge test for this Michigan team against a really well-balanced offense. So that's going to be interesting to me. But to me, I think they're very similar right now. I think Michigan State, as a 3-point favorite at Indiana, I think they're going to crush that line. They were one of my best bets last week to beat Rutgers. I think the spread was 4 or 5 in that game, and I thought they would cover that, which they did. So I think Tuttle is starting for Indiana. Penix is out with a shoulder injury, so I would bet heavily on Michigan State in that game, unless they're looking past that one at Michigan. But, you know, they got a bye week. That's three weeks away, so I don't imagine that's going to happen. These guys seem pretty focused. So I like them both right now in the fact that they're playing good team ball, both of them, and they're very – very disciplined teams.
I look at Michigan and they have more athletes on defense than Michigan State. Then I look at the Spartans and Naylor and Reed and obviously Kenneth Walker, who I think is the Heisman frontrunner right now. I think he's the best offensive player in college football. And the lines might be a wash. So is Thorne better than McNamara? I guess, based on his numbers. So come down to that Michigan defense against, you know, you look at Reed, you look at Naylor, you throw in Thorne and Kenneth Walker, and it's probably, as we were discussing earlier, Chris, outside of Ohio State, the second best offensive unit in the Big Ten.
Yeah, without a doubt. And being second best to Ohio State is in the Big Ten, you're saying you're putting them up there nationally. If you're looking at numbers and some of the things they're doing now, they haven't played great competition either. And the same can be said. We'll say the same thing about Michigan. There aren't wins over ranked teams on this schedule for either one of these. So backloaded schedules is when things start to play out and you find out who's really good and who's really championship material. I can't sit here and tell you that I think Michigan's a Big Ten contender. Yet they are because their record says they are. But when you have to go on the road to Michigan State, to Penn State, and you get Ohio State at home when your three toughest games are still on the schedule, and you probably, you know, those are two of them are 50, one of them's 50-50, Michigan State. The other two, you're going to be underdogs in, no matter what the ESPN FPI says, you're going to be underdogs in those games. So to me, there's still plenty to prove. But the fact that this ceiling now, or the floor, is 9 wins, when we were talking about, man, if everything goes right, you can get to 9 wins, is pretty incredible. From based on where we started, in a way it's incredible, in a way it's not. You've had talent on this team, right? But now it's finally starting to mesh, and you're finally starting to put the pieces together like you should have. And the attitudes are great, and you have that chemistry, that Michigan chemistry that everybody talks about and that Skeen enjoyed for 5 years, where you expect to win, and you'd better play your ass off on every play, because that's what happens here, and that's what's supposed to happen here. So that's what they got back, and that's what's exciting for me. To I think for Michigan fans, not just for this year, but for the future, is that, okay, we're back on track there. Now, if you add some elite talents, and there's still some work to do, receiving core, for example, and in the defensive backfield, another thing at cornerback, then you've really got something.
Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com is joining us here on the huge show across Michigan. It's the bye week breakdown on Michigan. With the bye week, Michigan State will play at Indiana on Saturday. Spartans have been very friendly to those of you who have bet Michigan State on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and always use that promo code HUGE to get the hookups. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The one thing I'll say in doing a statewide show on 20 radio stations, Chris, and everything is beautiful right now in its own way, with Michigan undefeated, Michigan State undefeated, I will tell you that if you get past one loss and you drop that second loss after setting up the expectations so high right now for both teams, it will be Armageddon on one side or the other.
Yeah, and at the same time, if you're Michigan State, when you were projected to finish last in the Big Ten East, right?
Fans won't remember that. They remember right now that you're top 10.
Yeah, maybe, and that's fine. But especially given their lack of success at the end of the D'Antonio era, to be able to get it back so quickly. And yeah, the transfer portal did have something to do with that. But regardless, to be that high and so quickly when everybody thought this was going to be a rebuild, you got to keep your eye on the ball here, right? And the same thing with Michigan. If Michigan were to beat Michigan State, and somebody actually brought this up on our message board today, that Penn State game is somewhat irrelevant. Not really. I mean, you're still going to have an opportunity, let's put it that way. If you beat Ohio State, you're going to be the Big Ten champion at the end of the year. So you can afford to drop one if you win that stake. And that's what makes this one so intriguing. It reminds you of that 1999 game when Tom Brady almost let him back, and Jim Harbaugh went with Drew Henson, or not Jim Harbaugh, Lloyd Carr went with Drew Henson in the second half of that game, and Tom Brady almost let him back. So there are a lot of parallels there. But you got to get by your next games here first, and I think they will. I think both teams will be undefeated, and that's going to be one heck of an atmosphere up there for an opportunity to go into November undefeated. One of these Michigan teams, think about that. Both of them will be undefeated most likely going into that game. If you would have given me that bet, I would have said you're absolutely nuts. There's no way that even one of them does. That both of them are there is really unbelievable.
Yeah, the winner of Michigan State on October 30th in East Lansing will go to November probably top five in the country. Top five in the country. In the driver's seat, especially if you're Michigan, by winning another huge, would be the biggest win for Harbaugh and arguably one of the great road wins in Michigan history, right? You'd have to go old school probably winning at Ohio State when you think about it. Or maybe, you know, a win at ND or something. But everything that's coming together. But I will say, if November is a flop for either team, their fan base will go nuts. Not the teams. Teams will understand where they are and what the scoreboard says. But I'm just saying the fans. I won't, because I had no expectations. I think I said 7-5 for Michigan State and 8-4, 7-5 when we were here doing our fall football preview at the Tullymore Golf Resort. And I just, you know, I don't know who's better. I don't know how good the entire Big Ten, which we'll get to in our next segment, five of the top 10 teams right now as we're here on the bye week breakdown. And I still have my doubts that this feels like one of those years where you're going to have all the highly ranked teams and then one of them will end up in the Final Four and just get their ass kicked. And then the others get beat up in bowl games and you're like, you know, that's a Feinbaum out. They were overrated. But there is a side to me after watching college football and Clemson struggling and Alabama with a young quarterback who looked rattled on the road. A secondary that isn't your typical Saban secondary. That Georgia has a defense that is Alabama top shelfish. I think they're locked in as one of your college football Final Fours. Even though Saban could get them in an SEC title game, this could be the year where you get two Big Ten teams in the college football playoff. And it could happen. So let's say Michigan rolls it, Iowa rolls it. They're both 12-0 in the Big Ten title game. The winner and that loser, kind of like old school SEC championship games, both could end up in the college football playoff. Both could get there.
And I would doubt it would happen, and I'll tell you why. I think these teams are going to feast on each other in November, and you're going to see Michigan or Michigan State with two losses, or Penn State will have two or three losses. Some of these things work themselves out, right, when you look at the schedules. The one thing that won't, you look at Iowa, for example, and the West is so weak that they played Penn State. I think that's their big. They think they have to go to Wisconsin, and that's never going to be easy. But they're going to be favored to win up there this year, especially with Wisconsin being down. So in some ways, this Michigan-Michigan State team, when you say, I don't know how good the Big Ten is, I don't know how good either one of these teams really is at this point. Who have they beaten collectively? If you look at the schedules, what's the best win for Michigan State?
I think it would be really, it might be Nebraska at home, even more with more than Miami. But it was, I kind of look at the visual on these games that, yeah, the number isn't highly ranked, but it's how they took care of business start to finish. And State played a complete game on the road at Miami. Michigan played a complete game in two spots at Wisconsin and at Nebraska. Yeah, both unranked. But it's how they started and how they finished a game. To me, that says something about preparation, coaches, execution, and the players being disciplined. And you're seeing these things. It's kind of mirroring each other right now. And that's why it's crazy to think what October 30th could be like. But Michigan on back-to-back weeks, when normally you have letdowns, okay, that's what SEC teams do. They go play at LSU on a Saturday night, and the next Saturday afternoon they're playing Ole Miss, and they find a way to win. And that's what Michigan did. And if they, you know, you get the bye week, they're going to beat Northwestern, probably see a half of J.J. McCarthy. And if they beat Michigan State, there's your validation. There, you know, and the timing with the college football playoff rankings coming out all this, you know, same time frame as Michigan State, Michigan. And on the flip side, if Michigan State would beat them, I don't think their fans would care if they lost every game after that, as long as they ruined Michigan's season.
Maybe at the same time, when you've got goals where you're top five in the country, that might be true when you're have two or three wins. But when you're that close now and you've got an opportunity, then you beat Michigan, you've got other bigger goals. So
you get Penn State at home and you right. go to Ohio State. Yep. If they beat Michigan, they're thinking, we have to really win at Ohio State, beat Penn State at home, and they could win the Big Ten East.
Right. And who knows? You know, Ohio State still has to play Michigan at Michigan. So if Michigan were to bump them off, say they lose to Ohio State.
Ohio State still has to play Penn State.
Exactly. So that's what I mean about November is really when you find out. And I wasn't trying to minimize what these two programs have accomplished. I was just saying, when you look at them nationally, how good are they? Michigan could have easily lost to Rutgers at home. We talk about Nebraska. Maybe that was Michigan State's best win. It was amazing how those two games mirrored each other, where Nebraska badly outplayed Michigan State, probably should have won that game. Rutgers could easily have won the game at Michigan, the way Michigan played in the second half. So this, again, this will be an opportunity for one of those programs to say, okay, we finally got our signature win. And you can't minimize what you've accomplished. You have to win the games that are in front of you, and that's what both of these teams have done. But when you're talking about top five and top ten, then you're talking about who's winning in November and who's winning these big games, who steals the big road game. And that's what impresses me about Michigan. Okay, we can say all we want to, Wisconsin's down, Nebraska isn't as good as, you know, isn't very good, but those were impressive road victories. And the fact that they have even scratched the surface with the other two road games are going to be that much tougher really goes to show you how tough this Michigan schedule was. I think it was 1, 2, or 3 in the country, depending on who you asked at the beginning of the year. If they get there with a chance to play for a championship at the end of the year against Ohio State, they definitely will have earned it.
Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com is joining me along with former Michigan offensive lineman Doug Skeen. They have the weekly Michigan football podcast you can listen to at TheWolverine.com. I'll get Chris's thoughts on the McNamara, J.J. McCarthy. It's not a situation, but just on McCarthy getting some snaps in key games at key times and the development and emergence of McNamara with road wins at Wisconsin and at Nebraska. If you have a comment, add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. You can also opt in on the Huge text chain. Text the word Huge to 21,000. You need to get your football picks in by Sunday at noon every week in the Beat Huge contest at $1,000 in cash. Could be yours courtesy of Tom Rosenbach and his team at Bean Garter. Play Beat Huge every week for free at thehugeshow.net. We'll have more with Ballas. Our bye week breakdown is happening here at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. Book your tee time through October or your stay and play package through October at TullymoreGolf.com.
From Grand Rapids to Detroit, this show is huge.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Auto Value is a local Michigan-based company. You can find us all over this great state of Michigan. From Monroe to Marquette, we have you covered. When you shop at your local Auto Value auto parts store, you'll always be assured of quality, service, and a huge selection of name brand auto parts and accessories. Find out more and shop online at myautovaluestore.com. Thank you for shopping at Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Huge here for my friends on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And they have another huge offer this week. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use that promo code HUGE when you sign up, and then just bet $1 on any NFL game, and you can win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's called a no-brainer bet on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code HUGE, bet just $1 on any NFL game, and get $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code HUGE when you sign up after downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. 21 and up in Michigan only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back here at the beautiful Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of Grand Rapids. You can book a tee time through October or stay and play package at TullymoreGolf.com. Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com and Doug Skeen 5-time Big Ten champion offensive lineman at Michigan, 4-time Rose Bowler. They also host the Wolverine.com Michigan football podcast you can listen to weekly. They're enjoying an unbelievable run by Michigan right now at number 7 in the country. Bye week this weekend, and then Northwestern and October 30th in East Lansing against Michigan State. And if the Spartans, who are a 3-point road favorite, think about this. Michigan State, Chris, 4.5 on the DraftKings Sportsbook app board was the season win total. Over 4.5, under 4.5. And they've been road favorites now in back-to-back Big Ten games. I know it's Rutgers in Indiana, but they've been road favorites.
Yeah, and Indiana's not who a lot of people thought they'd be, right? Maybe Tom Allen was a one-year flash in the pan. We'll find out.
No, Penix, you know what? His injury he had at the end of last year, he wasn't the same quarterback this year. And now, well, what happens when you get one injury? There's usually a second injury. I really think he was a one-man wrecking crew. He was that good.
Yeah, and they had, but, you know, they had some running backs. And Mike Hart, I think, was a big part of their what they did there. He was the associate head coach and a big part of that culture. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do going forward. Let's put it that way. But yeah, who would have guessed? And I'm going to go back to the transfer portal thing, right? Because that's a game changer for college football. And remember when Jim Harbaugh was advocating for that? Well, we should have a one-year deal, and these guys should be able to go wherever they want the next year and not have to sit out a year. I'm guessing that he probably wasn't thinking that, hey, some of my rivals are going to really be able to use this, you know, whereas Michigan hasn't really been able to as much. They have some academic things, let's put it this way. They can get maybe a guy after his first year or a grad student, but nothing in between because a lot of their credits don't transfer. People are going to think I'm making an excuse here, but this is an absolute fact. And talking to the Michigan people, that there are 4 or 5 guys. Shea Patterson had to take 18 credits in the summer. I don't think a lot of people know this, just to be for the right to play at Michigan. And he busted his butt in the summer during summer school, where even though he had 80 credits, I think only 60 of them transferred or something like that. So this is what he needed to do. So you go to a linebacker, for example, somewhere and say, hey, this is what you need to do. He's going to say, well, to hell with that. I'm going to go somewhere else where I can play and not have to jump through all these hoops. So, but to long story short, a little late for that, I guess, but you look at what's happened with them and how it's changed teams. And when we talk about the over-under on some of these teams, I would have taken probably the under on Michigan State based on the talent they had coming back. Add some team speed and get some good coaching and getting guys play together, you get what you got. You get an undefeated team.
And Kenneth Walker from the first play has made a huge difference. You got a Heisman Trophy candidate, and again, Michigan's D versus their O on October 30th in East Lansing. McNamara will be the QB barring an injury in the Northwestern game after the bye week. Talking about the matchup with Michigan State. The McCarthy factor here. Well, what's his role moving forward? Because you mentioned the big boy games are still on the schedule at Michigan State, at Penn State, Ohio State at home. What do you think the role will be of J.J. McCarthy with Harbaugh and the offense?
I think it's what it is now, but you're going to start incorporating some more passing with him, right? Where, okay, he's got the big arm, and there are going to be some games when you have DBs that close so fast because they're better. Penn State comes to mind, Ohio State, obviously, where that ball can't take as long to get there as it has with Cade McNamara, and I'm not discounting anything he's done. He's been fantastic in doing what they've asked him to do, checking into the right play, not making the big mistake, minus the interception at Nebraska. He's been sacked, what, twice all year, I think? And a lot of that, part of that's on the offensive line, but as Doug Skeen said, he's been hit, and he's had to get rid of the ball, and he's not thrown into traffic and not taking sacks. And that's how you win games. You stay ahead of the chains and you protect the ball. So that's what he does well. Everybody assumes that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in there and he's going to be doing those exact same things. But, oh, he's going to put the ball on the money and he's going to be so much better as a passer. We have no clue. We've seen 2 great passes from him, basically in mop-up time, right, where he's thrown deep and connected on the deep ball. But we don't know what's going to happen when he faces a defense in a hostile environment that is geared to stop him and confuse him. He just hasn't seen a whole lot yet. So for that faction, and I think it's still a smaller faction, but there's that faction, kind of like the Drew Henson, Brady, Tom Brady days, that saying, hey, we want this shiny new thing with the big arm rather than the steady guy who's not making mistakes. And I likened McNamara to some of those old Northwestern quarterbacks that Pat Fitzgerald has had that aren't great, but they are winners. This kid has not lost a game yet in which he started and finished. Penn State, he started last year, didn't finish. Brought him back against Nebraska last or at Rutgers last year, and he won in that environment. He said it was the toughest game he ever played at Nebraska. So I give him credit. And for people discounting him, he's got that grit that you were talking about when we were talking off the air that, hey, this guy can play the position and play it pretty damn good.
And McCarthy has that swagger, that big QB look, feel to his game. And again, it's a blessing for Harbaugh and a comfort level. You know, they've been searching for QBs. They've been searching for leaders on the field, coaches, that connection, that chemistry that you need as a team when you're grinding. And they won in Madison and they won in Lincoln. You know, if you go back to when we were here at Tullymore back in August and you looked at the schedule, we agreed Western was no pushover. Washington at the time was preseason top 20, right? Then it's at Wisconsin. What were they, preseason number 12, I think?
Yeah.
Something close to top 10. And at Nebraska, everyone's talking about that Frost was going to be able to push Iowa and Wisconsin for the Big Ten West. And here's Michigan undefeated. And you have McNamara, McCarthy. Well, what is the point in this season? Not looking ahead to the offseason or next year. What's a point beyond injury where McCarthy could jump in and be the guy if McNamara does this?
I think we start finding out with that Northwestern game coming up after the bye week. I think you're going to see him get significant snaps, and they open up the offense for him a little bit, not just the read option.
You're talking open up the offense for McCarthy.
Exactly, and let him throw a little bit when it matters, because that's something we haven't seen from him yet. And against a defense, again, Northwestern, like you said, might be the worst team in the Big Ten. But they still got players, and they're still going to have defenses geared to confuse a young quarterback. They've got good coaches over there. So that's when I think you're going to start to see, okay, how serious they are about getting him some snaps here. Because we heard a couple weeks ago, hey, don't be surprised even if you see J.J. start a game maybe this year if Cade were to falter a little bit. But he's played well enough, and he's 6-0. You don't mess with that, right? You don't screw up a team's chemistry by replacing your 6-0 quarterback with a kid that hasn't started a game yet just because he's got the bigger arm. But you will see them. I think you'll see more of him against Northwestern, and I think that's going to bode well for them in November.
Would you agree with me that if Michigan would have lost at Wisconsin and at Nebraska, that McCarthy would be the starter after the bye week?
I think very possibly, yeah, depending on how he played in those games. But we aren't there and not close to there because he took care of business at Wisconsin where they hadn't won since 2001. And the moxie he showed, people can say, well, you know, it wasn't him that won the game down the stretch. He was a big part of what they accomplished, coming back and scoring after falling behind in those games, getting him into the right plays, not making the big mistakes minus the one, and help will them to a win.
Boy, you and Skeen, Cade McNamara Fan Club is having their annual retreat here at the Tullymore Golf Resort. He convinced me at Wisconsin and Nebraska. I flat out was a doubter. I thought, man, he looks like a backup up until at Wisconsin and at Nebraska. And I thought for the setting, stage, scene, what he did, control of the huddle, control of the game flow, tempo, as Skeen was talking about as a former player, I don't think McCarthy takes his job this year.
I don't either, but I think he's going to see more and more opportunity. And again, we still haven't seen him in the biggest games on the schedule. They haven't played a ranked team. I understand the magnitude of that win at Nebraska. I don't know if a lot of people do how big that was, but at Michigan State, at Penn State, Ohio State, those are the three games that are really going to tell you, is Cade McNamara a guy that can win championships for you, or can he just beat the beatable teams on the schedule, and then you need a bigger arm and an NFL-type quarterback like McCarthy to win those big games for you?
If Michigan and Michigan State were playing tonight, if that game was tonight, Chris, boy, if they're both 7-0, the line's going to have to be something like State by 3 because they're at home. I mean, they're similarly ranked, right? It could be a pick'em game because it's in East Lansing. Who has the edge? I know we've talked about, you know, better defense, Michigan, better offensive skill set in terms of athletes with Michigan State. I'm just trying to get an early vibe on who has the edge. And again, that you want a crazy nutso crowd, because the Michigan State fan hates Michigan more than any other team. I think the home field advantage could be big there if State had a big start.
Yeah, if they played today, Michigan would have a few guys out. Both of their guards didn't play most of the game at Nebraska, and that was a huge storyline that has been kind of overlooked. Zach Zinter might be their best offensive lineman. Trevor Keegan was hurt. They've got a bunch of guys banged up. Roman Wilson, he'll probably be back for that State game. So if they played today, definitely the edge, Michigan State. I think on that day, it's a toss-up. I think it will be a pick'em game. I still don't think Michigan State's getting the respect they deserve. If you look at the odds makers, again, that three-point spread at Indiana, I think should be higher. I really do, and I think they're going to cover that pretty easily. So to me, that's a toss-up game, and it's going to come down to turnovers, and it's going to come down to big plays. If Michigan State gets some of those big plays against that Michigan defense that's geared to stop big plays, I think Michigan State wins that game. If Michigan can run the ball and control the game and the tempo, kind of like old school Michigan, I think Michigan wins that game.
I still think nationally and even across Michigan, in our conversations, there's still some doubt on Michigan and Michigan State. Are they truly number 7 and number 9 in America? And the rest of their schedule will dictate it. Chris Ballas on the Wolverine.com is joining me here on the bye week breakdown at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. Book your tee time through the end of October and your stay and play package, and or tee time and stay and play package. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. Chris will join me coming up in about 20 minutes. Skeen will sit in and we'll have the bye week breakdown with Ballas and Skeen here on the huge show across Michigan. A reminder for anybody who hasn't downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app, make sure you do it. Use that promo code HUGE. And when you sign up, use HUGE as the promo code. And you'll have a shot at betting just $1 on an NFL game this weekend, starting with Thursday night. And if either team scores, you'll get $100 in free bets. Use that promo code HUGE when you sign up after downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Your comments on Michigan, Michigan State, the Big Ten, and more on this bye week breakdown at HUGE Show on Twitter, the HUGE Show on Facebook, and opt in on the HUGE text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000.
Everything HUGE, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
Get your payout before the game's out with BetMGM. Hey, this is Matt Shepard, and like you, I'm fired up football is back. Place a money line wager on any Thursday night football game, and if your team is up by 10 or more points at halftime, you win. That's right. That's a full payout for only half the game, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Simply go to your BetMGM account and opt in each week to the Thursday night halftime payout promotion. Want to continue wagering in the third quarter? No problem. Keep it rolling with BetMGM's extensive live betting options. Need to hit the sack early? No issue. Use your winnings to place a one-game parlay on Sunday and go for the gridiron glory. If you're new to BetMGM, download the app today and see how you can turn halftime into cash time. Make a money line bet on Thursday night, and if your team is up by 10 or more, you'll win at the half only at BetMGM. Opt-in required. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Huge here for my good friends at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. That's less than an hour north of Grand Rapids. So if you want to get away for a quick 18 at Tullymore or St. Ives, or maybe stay overnight or spend a couple of days at Tullymore, you can book your golf and packages right now at TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com. You can experience a Michigan masterpiece when it comes to golf and the entire resort, from accommodations, dining, meetings, weddings, events. Maybe you want to live, whether it's on the weekend or full time at Tullymore, they have the ability to build a home to your needs, and they have a ton of real estate property. All you have to do is go to TullymoreGolf.com. You can book that golf or stay and play package and check out the residential living and more, and also even shop online. Everything you need at TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on The Huge Show across Michigan, proud to be 20 radio stations strong. For the one close to you, go to thehugeshow.net. We're also celebrating week six with our new flagship station, 96.1 The Game in Grand Rapids. We're also heard in Detroit on 93.5 FM, 99.1 FM, and 94.7 FM, HD Channel 2, The Roar, Motor City Sports Talk.
Big, bad, huge.